We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Monday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We've got a recap of the weekend in fantasy baseball. Look ahead, of course, opening day in home stadiums for a lot of different teams today. We'll get a daily fantasy preview as well here on the show. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, an hour of fantasy sports talk each and every day. Although starting tomorrow, our time moves from where you normally see here at 12 o'clock Eastern to 11 o'clock Eastern. So put that in your phones, in your calendars, however you keep track of that. Davis, great to be with you here. Once again here on this Monday, watching a lot of baseball. It was great to have baseball back from morning till night. It felt like yesterday for sure. And of course, naturally, the Masters was really exciting, especially for Rory McIlroy. But in general, a Sunday at the Masters for the last few hours that you kind of felt like you knew who was going to win.
I mean, honestly, I think Friday afternoon, Scheffler starts off on Friday, and he was tied for first coming into the day. And then basically, everyone was having a miserable time out on Augusta. It was cold. It was windy, you know, sustained winds of 20 miles an hour, gusts of 30, 35 miles an hour. And pretty much everyone, right? Rory, Tiger, it doesn't matter who it is. Everyone, they're hitting their shots and they look miserable. I mean, guys were just out there having a brutal time. And, you know, of course, I'm watching the broadcast the entire time. And Scheffler's just, you know, chatting with his caddy, smiling after every shot, drinking his water, eating some snacks. It was really unbelievable. And we've seen performances like this at major championships before. Rory has won major championships by 8 shots before. Colin Morikawa, when he won his first one, there was like no drama. And it does just kind of feel like when a guy is hot, there's just not really anything you can do. In particular, there was this one shot on 15 yesterday. Scheffler was behind a tree, 6 iron in his hand, about 205 yards out from the green, and he hit a draw around a tree up onto the green. I mean, he was locked in. And there wasn't a ton of drama, but it was. I mean, it still made for good TV, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's get to our headlines here. We'll start with that. Scottie Scheffler, of course, wins the Masters, but no question, Rory McIlroy almost stole the show yesterday. All-time Sunday low in terms of scoring. Hit an unbelievable shot out of the bunker that I would only dream of making, but incredible day for him. Let's not lose sight of that. Tampa Bay Rays, they start the season 3-0. We'll get to the Orioles a little bit later in the show. Luka Doncic, unfortunately, suffers a calf strain in the season finale. Dallas will play this coming Saturday early. We'll see if he can play in this game. We'll have to watch this as the week goes by. Play-in games, by the way, are tomorrow. We'll have them covered for you. And Joel Embiid becomes the first center since Shaquille O'Neal to lead the league in scoring. Great season for Embiid. I'm sure we have not heard the last of him in the NBA. But Davis, it looks like we may have heard the last of Frank Vogel as head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, currently, there is nothing official in terms of his future, but there are sources that are telling ESPN that Vogel is out as the coach of the Lakers, and it doesn't feel like Frank Vogel is going to make it to tomorrow, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like he's happy that he doesn't know one way or the other either, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, so we got, I think it was Windhorse who tweeted on Sunday that the team was expecting to let him go. And then, so of course, you know, one of the reporters after the game yesterday asked him, you know, are you disappointed to be done at your time in LA or whatever? And he's like, no, no one's told me anything. Welcome to everyone on radio, Davis Maddock and Craig Mish with you here on Sports Grid Radio. So again, more organizational dysfunction with the Los Angeles Lakers. It's been, really, since the passing of Jerry Buss, who Very owned nice. The team for a long time. All of his, you know, his kids are trying to control the team, and, you know, Pelinka gets in and he's out, and it's been total chaos. But I mean, so much going on in the world of sports this weekend. It was like, I was like glued to my phone even more than normal, because the Royals started out the season. I want to watch Witt. Mondesi has a game winning hit. Huge soccer games over in Europe. The number one and number two teams in Europe play each other. That was like a totally breathless affair, trying to keep up with Rory's round at the Masters. Just great sporting weekend, really.
Yeah, a lot of people tweeting about Formula One, I noticed, too. I was like, all of a sudden, am I going to have to get into Formula One on top of it? I saw the USFL schedule came out. I know you were all excited about that this weekend,
Can't
too.
Wait.
We're going to get to our fantasy standouts in baseball. But from the 360-degree view, I don't know. I thought it was really enjoyable, Davis. I was trying to, you know, catch up on Apple TV and see the morning games on Sunday. It was like wall-to-wall baseball, and it felt good to have it back. At least that's my overall take. I know things will change and there'll be controversies and things like that, but it was just great to have that on from morning till night, all 3 days this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
100%. Great to have it back. It is very frustrating right now for daily fantasy baseball because all of these pitchers are limited, right? Most guys are not even getting out of the fifth inning. And so it's been super frustrating for NFBC and DFS, just like, you have no, a pitcher might go two innings and he might go four innings. He might go six if he's 30 or whatever, but, and that'll of course normalize or whatever, but that was something that was frustrating me over the weekend.
Yeah, you just don't know, and you have to, like, keep track of the pitch counts. It doesn't seem like any pitcher is throwing more than 75 or 80 pitches in a game, and I guess if you're Jose Berríos, it's only, like, 15. But, yeah, it was that kind of weekend in baseball. I think things will start to normalize. Not quite yet, by the way, because most teams' fourth and fifth starters are going to be pitching today and tomorrow. But I would expect by next weekend things to certainly normalize as far as that is concerned. All right, our first fantasy baseball standouts of 2022 is coming up next. Take a look at what happened this week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
First weekend of the 2022 baseball season officially in the books. Most teams playing three games, some playing a little bit more than that. Davis, as I said before, I really enjoyed watching a lot of the activity and watching a lot of the action. I was engaged on a lot of different games watching. Miami, of course, playing this weekend against San Francisco, so naturally that was my focus. But I thought it'd be a good exercise to kind of go back and talk about what we saw as opposed to maybe one day, just look at the weekend. And, you know, obviously I want your thoughts on some players that have gotten off to really good starts. I know it's still extremely early, and next week it still will be extremely early, but that doesn't mean you can't feel good about your performances for players you drafted.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we are learning some things right now. Now, obviously, am I losing my mind that Joey Gallo hasn't hit a home run yet and Ben striking out a ton? No, but you know, for some of these guys we're going to talk about, I mean, We love to see hot starts, especially from guys who are younger and we're trying to figure out, you know, are these guys any good or not? I did see this morning that in ESPN's fantasy baseball game, you know, the most dropped player is after the first week of the season, Joe Adell of the Los Angeles Angels, not an everyday player, splitting time with Jose Rojas. And that's kind of one of the examples of, like, people are just needing to see a hot start from him. They're needing to see a hot start from Jared Kelenic, you know, another, and, you know, just some of these young guys. And that'll be, you know, there'll definitely be a breaking point too with starting pitchers. You know, Thor threw over the weekend, only struck out one guy, but did get through five innings of the game. I thought that was great. Just, I mean, so much information to take in right now.
No doubt. So let's get to it here and show you some of the fantasy standouts from the weekend. And we'll dive into a couple players here. And then I want to get to the key waiver wire pickup of the week. Byron Buxton, who was on the show a couple months ago, very, very happy to see him getting off to this start. Two home runs yesterday, three home runs, four RBIs this weekend. Honestly, the best weekend overall, probably from Nolan Arenado, who not only hit two home runs, drove in seven, but doubled three times. Are you kidding me? Alex Bregman didn't even play all three games this weekend. He had two home runs, six RBIs. Who is the surprise? like, this is the name here, Jerks and Profar. Like, just enjoy this little moment here because no one thinks this will continue. And then Andrew Vaughn, who was hurt in the spring, Davis, has gotten off to a nice start as well. So tackle whoever you like here, but clearly Buxton we're all excited about because I think his MVP odds, by the way, went from 25 to 1 to 10 over the weekend. So the value is still there, by the way, probably at 10 to 1, but you're not going to get what you were getting at the beginning of the year.
So, you know, I think most of these names, like, is anyone surprised that Buxton is tearing the cover off the ball? No, he's the best. Byron Buxton would be, I don't know, the fourth or fifth pick in fantasy baseball. If we could guarantee him 650 plate appearances, he steals, he hits for average, he hits for power. He's the best player on his team. Same thing for Arenado. Now, you know, Nato lost a lot of power leaving the Colorado Rockies and going to the St. Louis Cardinals. So if he's, if we're a month into the season and we see a difference in Nolan Arenado's like launch angle and exit velocity, kind of the way we saw it happen with Joey Votto, that would be pretty interesting. But Bregman, you know, great player. No surprises there. Profar, just a utility guy. I mean, he's good and he's useful for your fantasy baseball team, but you're not getting two home runs a week. I think the most interesting name on this list is Andrew Vaughn, who was the third overall pick in 2019. Never really has gotten a ton of playing time. He did kind of shift around first base and DH for the White Sox last year, got to 469 plate appearances, hit 15 home runs, but was not, you know, stellar. But he's the kind of guy, you know, like what I was just talking about with Joe Adell and Kalenic. Like, We don't really know what Andrew Vaughn is as a baseball player. He could be a 280 hitter who hits 35 home runs in that ballpark in that lineup. So you could be feeling really good about Vaughn if you had taken a later stab on him. And he's also one of the guys, by the way, who starts at the bottom of the order, right? You know, Julio Rodriguez batting ninth for the Mariners. But if he keeps hitting, he will move up. You know, he will be ahead of Lurie Garcia and Yon Moncada in no time if he is hitting that well.
No doubt. Another player this weekend who, I mean, basically we were clowning the lineup of the Cleveland Guardians, Davis, but when you go 8-for-10 in your first weekend, you're the number one pickup in fantasy baseball. His name is Steven Kwan. He hit 800. His OPS is 2,000. I don't have a lot of data. I don't have a lot of information and no proof that anything like this will continue, Davis, but this is the number one pickup in fantasy this week for everyone.
Yeah, so we did not make a bid on Steven Kwan in our NFBC main event. Just taking a quick look at his prospect profile. He is 24, so again, not a finished product. The same way I was just talking about Andrew Vaughn. He was a fifth-round pick, 163rd overall back in 2018. Not a power guy at all. Never hit 10 home runs at any level in the minor leagues. Started out at AA last year, moved up to AAA, did hit .311 at AAA, so he seems like kind of one of those Nico Horner, Nick Madrigal, Luis Arraez style middle infielders who just never swings and misses, right? Just makes a ton of contact. So he could hit .300. Not sure how much he would steal. That would obviously be a huge benefit. You know, guys who just hit for batting average on bad teams, not that useful for fantasy baseball. But if you add in 15 steals and a .295 batting average, that's a pretty valuable player. The guy I saw go for the most fab in my leagues over the weekend, Josh Lowe, the outfielder for the Tampa Bay Rays. I saw him go for over 50% of people's fab budgets, which very painful. We happened to be on the clock when the Austin Meadows trade was made, and we couldn't figure out who it was for. So we were like, oh, you know, maybe it's Brett Phillips and Harold Ramirez. Like, it was just a brain fart thing, and we did not take Josh Lowe. So we're seeing these bids roll in for him last night, and we were like, well, kind of screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah, it's okay. You'll make up for it later on. How about grabbing one of these pitchers in a trade or waiver wire? I think there could be one of these on the waiver wire this week. Carlos Rodon was the best pitcher I saw pitch this weekend. He struck out 12 in five innings. Kyle Gibson. Okay, well, let's pause on Kyle Gibson for a second, circle him, and we'll get back to him in a minute because this was out of nowhere. Chris Bassett's a very good pitcher, not a huge surprise. Sean Manaea had a no-hitter through seven. Logan Gilbert continuing what he showed last year for Seattle. Maybe he is legit. We'll see after a couple of starts. But the story from the weekend pitching-wise is Gibson, Davis. Like, I don't think anybody trusts that this is legit, but if it is, this changes Philadelphia completely.
It does, but I mean, look, how long have we done this with Kyle Gibson? You know, he is 33 years old. He was on Minnesota for a long time. He did his stint with the Texas Rangers, was traded. And I mean, you know, the kindest thing you can say about Gibson is, I mean, he is going to eat up the innings, 182 innings last season. I don't believe he has ever missed significant time on the IL in his career. In fact, only two seasons has he been below 180 innings pitched. And he did grind out a 3.71 ERA. The problem with Kyle Gibson in today's game is he just does not strike anyone out. You know, less than a batter per inning, below 22% as a total K rate. So now Manaea, though, I feel good about Manaea. That was a really strong performance from him.
No doubt. Closers that got two saves. There's three of them. Here they are. Taylor Rogers in the trade comes over, immediately becomes the closer, I guess, for the Padres. He saved two games. Ryan Pressly, he's the closer of Houston. Romano looked good too. Toronto was just hitting the you-know-what out of the ball, Davis, all weekend. So if they have a lead and they're up by three, Romano's going to get a lot of saves. And I know you're happy that Daniel Bard of the Rockies got a save too. This is going to be a very fluid situation all season long.
Yeah, extremely happy about the Daniel Bard. I will say, though, like, Craig, I think we are just going to be talking about so many different guys getting saves this year. Like, it does not look like there are very many teams that are just, like, locked in to a guy being their closer. Like, what, probably 10 teams are going to have one guy get 80% of their saves. Like, you know, Seattle was throwing out a bunch of different guys. Steckenrider, Castillo, and Seawald were all getting some of those. So it's just like, we're going to be talking a lot about closers this season, I feel like.
Yeah, and trying to find them is going to be the hardest part for sure. All right, much easier when you're setting a daily fantasy lineup, especially here on our show on Sports Grid. And coming up next, Davis is going to do that for you. We'll take a look at the DraftKings setup for this afternoon and give you the slate, go over some of the options as we continue the fantasy baseball season here on Sports Grid. We'll be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, of course, as the baseball season is fresh and new. We want to talk as much baseball as we possibly can with you. Of course, we've got the NBA playoffs coming up, the NFL draft as well. But I got baseball on the mind tonight, Davis. For me, we've got some afternoon baseball coming your way in about 2 hours from now, weather permitting, in a couple of different places. And we're choosing to take a look at the evening slate tonight, Daily Fantasy on DraftKings. So how does it set up for you?
So, you know, kind of every slate is you know, its own little mystery right now because it's all done in the context of what is the starting pitching look like and how many of these starting pitchers are going to give us, you know, five innings, right? Because that's pretty much where you start from, right? Who do I want to pitch and who do I want to target against? And, you know, I'm kind of looking at the starting pitchers going tonight and I'm like, man, I really do not know how many of these guys are going to be in line for the win. You know, for example, Alek Manoah is going to be starting for the Toronto Blue Jays tonight. He's the most expensive starting pitcher. I'd love to use Alek Manoah against the Yankees right now, even in Yankee Stadium, but he went 3 1/3 innings in his last Grapefruit League start, and I just don't know how many innings. I mean, maybe he gets to five here against the Yankees, but you know, really, I mean, we saw this happen with Kluber yesterday. We saw this happen with Syndergaard when he started. Even the vets, right? If they get into a little bit of trouble, kind of the consequences of the lockout ending abruptly and then having to get the games going is a lot of these guys are not particularly stretched out. So part of the strategy for me, Craig, is targeting teams with weak bullpens, you know, so with the hitter side, right, is if I think a bullpen is not particularly good, if they don't grade out all that well, that's going to make me feel a little bit more bullish about the hitters.
All right, so let's start off with the two starting pitching selections for tonight in the evening slate on DraftKings. We've got Alex Wood, priced at 9,400, and then Oscar Inoa, for the Atlanta Braves at 8,600 and a clear target, especially with Inoa, against the Washington Nationals. I'm guessing, Davis, that's the thinking there. I don't even know if I've seen a starter yet posted for Washington.
Yeah. I think it was supposed to be Anibal Sanchez, but he just got placed on the IL while we were on commercial break. So I have not seen a starter for them yet. If people remember, was kind of a darling of the fantasy baseball community. Mm-hmm. People really liked him, and he broke his hand last year punching. So I think he was punching the wall of the dugout or something, but he only got to 91 innings pitched last season for Atlanta. He projects pretty strong, and mostly this Nationals lineup is quite poor, right? So they do have Juan Soto, you know, basically the best hitter in baseball, but outside of that, things are looking pretty bleak. Their lineup in their last, oh, I guess their non-Sunday start, I mean. So they have Soto and Cruz, who are above league average hitters, sure. And then it's Alcides Escobar and Michael Franco. No. It's pretty rough for them. And then, I mean, Craig, you know, I love Alex Wood. That's my guy. I think he's very underrated in fantasy baseball circles. Has put up, you know, really strong numbers the last 2 years. He got 138 innings last season for the Giants, 3.83 ERA. Now the Padres are a good lineup, so it's not so much that I'm trying to pick on the Padres, but I think that and also, you know, Wood is of the age of a starting pitcher, 31 years old, right? I think his team should trust him to get through 5 innings, assuming he doesn't run into too much trouble. So I feel pretty good about these two starting pitchers for the night slate.
All right, so there you go. Two pitchers for tonight over on DK. Let's take a look at the DFS infield tonight. Let's set it by starting off with the catcher, Gary Sanchez, who nearly hit a big shot for the Minnesota Twins over the weekend. He's priced at 2,800. Matt Olson of the Braves, 5,400. Tony Kemp, we know he's leading off for Oakland. He's 3,300. The A's did not look particularly great either this weekend. Bryson Stott, assuming he's in the lineup, I probably believe so. He's got a hit to stay in it, though, I think. 2,100 tonight. And then, look, to the way that Toronto is hitting, you got to probably start playing multiple Jays every day until somebody tells you otherwise, based on what we've seen thus far.
Yeah, they are the best. They're going up against Jameson Taillon, who I kind of like Jameson Taillon a little bit anyways, but I don't think he's going to do anything against this lineup. The problem with the Blue Jays right now on DraftKings is they are all so expensive. I mean, look at that price tag on Bo Bichette, 5,400, and he's not even the most expensive hitter on their roster. So these guys are all the way priced up, but we're definitely fitting them where we can. I think this price tag on Gary Sanchez is absurd. So, like, you know, the problem with Gary Sanchez in seasonal fantasy baseball is his batting average just kills you. But, I mean, we don't care about that in DFS. All we care about is getting a little bit of power. And, you know, I think to make it a little bit better, Gary Sanchez is probably going to DH tonight. He started one of each. He started one game at DH, one game at catcher. I like when some, you know, Vogelbach did this, Schwarber did this, you know, these former catchers who are just there because they're too big to play in the outfield, basically. Like, Sanchez is not a good defensive catcher, so I like the idea of the Minnesota Twins just being like, look, all that matters is if you can get us a 240 batting average and 30 dingers, we are happy with you. That will be money well spent for us, and I think he probably will do that. So I think just a really low price tag right there. Matt Olson, 5,400. As I was talking about earlier, I just don't think the Nationals are very good. I don't know who they don't have a confirmed starter for tonight. Olson will be in there batting third for them, and he'll get a go up against that weaker bullpen. Tony Kemp, Craig, you know I love steals. I love a leadoff guy who will get on and steal a base for sure. So liking Tony Kemp there. And Stott, again, they I've noticed early in the season, DraftKings has not been adjusting prices for these rookies even after a good performance. Stott had a good first game of the season. Same thing for Bobby Witt. He's still sitting down there. Julio Rodriguez has not been adjusted, so I'm kind of taking advantage of that while I can. And then, of course, Bo Bichette, 5,400. I mean, he's the best. He's one of the best hitters in baseball, and the Blue Jays have the highest team total of this night slate.
All right, so with the Blue Jays having that team total, I think it's pretty obvious the direction will go in the outfield here. And continuing on with another Blue Jay in the starting lineup on DraftKings, it is Teoscar Hernandez, who is priced at 4,700. Josh Lowe, who is now playing virtually every day for the Rays. We're going to have to see if that continues. You just never know with them at 2,800. And then I guess I'll be thinking of Davis tonight if Mike Trout hits a home run against the Marlins. He is priced at 5,600, and he looks all the way back, locked in, hitting a home run this weekend for the Los Angeles Angels. So let's get to the outfield here before we close it out.
So, I mean, look, Mike Trout, he's the best hitter in baseball. When he is healthy, when he's not dealing with a shoulder thing or a knee thing or whatever, he is the best. And I feel, you know, like seasonal fantasy baseball drafters didn't really draft like that, you know, taking Juan Soto ahead of him. And I guess I'm part of that problem too, because I also took Juan Soto ahead of Mike Trout in my seasonal fantasy baseball draft. But the guy, when he is going, is just the absolute best. You know, no disrespect intended to Eliezer Hernandez of your Miami Marlins, but I don't think there's anything that Hernandez can toss at him that he would have not seen before. And, you know, as a function of this slate, I think Bryce Harper is going to pull in ownership. Obviously, Buxton against Flexton, Otani as well, Aaron Judge. Like, there are other high-priced outfielders to take there. And so kind of one of my things with Mike Trout is, you know, all else being equal, of one at-bat or one DFS slate, I would take Trout ahead of everyone else because I think he is the best hitter. So if I think he's going to be 8% owned, I probably need to find a way to get him into some of my lineups. Josh Lowe, you're right. He 4 plate appearances in every game that the Rays have had up until this point. Has not hit a home run or stolen a base yet. Did get a triple against Baltimore in the second game of the season. But what I was just talking about with Bryson Stott is the DraftKings pricing algorithm is not moving these rookie salaries significantly. So normally, you know, a $2,800 outfielder is going to be, you know, the Washington it's going to be Guillermo Heredia, right? But Josh Lowe might be really good. I mean, we don't really know how good or how not good he is yet. I think he is probably pretty good. So just seems like a poor price there. And I actually love Teoscar Hernandez. You know, he probably to me is the best fantasy baseball asset in the Blue Jays outfield. You know, some people might argue that it would be Springer. Some people like Gurriel, you know, at his price or whatever. But I am a big Teoscar Hernandez fan. You know, 29 home runs, 12 steals last year. So I just seems like a really good price on him at 4,700.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think with the rookies, you're right. If they're not going to be priced up, I mean, who's to say that they can't get off to hot starts? The Giants, if I'm not mistaken, yesterday called up their second best hitting prospect, Helio Ramos. He got 2 hits right out of the box yesterday. So, you know, depending on their lineup, if he's in there, definitely somebody to consider. And I know that you said that the weather is not good in St. Louis for the early slate. I got to tell you, I really like the pitcher on the Pirates today in particular. If he does play, okay. Zach Thompson, I'm a fan of this guy. And so I don't know what their price is on DK, and I don't know what his DFS price is as well, but I would not sleep on this guy. I think he can get some outs. So just something to consider.
All right. Well, that is interesting to know because he is very cheap. He's 6,400 on the opening slate, and I don't think he will be particularly popular either. I will say, as long as we're going to mention the early slate, Mondesi has not stolen a base yet. So I'm just going to say, right. He gets his first steal today against Cleveland.
Well, what we want to do with yesterday's game, Davis, is flush it and never talk about it ever again. I'm pretty
never.
Sure. I think 17 runs. Ooh, 17 runs by Cleveland yesterday. All right, coming up next, it's time for some fantasy or reality. We are going to tell you how you can get involved by asking us the questions that we ask here on this show. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
Break. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We've got a new show tomorrow launching here on a Sports Grid. It's called Sports Grid Newswire. It starts every day at 2:00 Eastern. I will be hosting it for you, so hopefully you will tune in. And to learn more about the other things we have going on here at Sports Grid, including our schedule, videos, picks, and all kinds of great content, just follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. In addition, for our fantasy reality segment. If there's a question or comment that you would like us to ask in this segment of the show, just hit us up there at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. You can copy me or Davis as well, and we will use your question potentially for fantasy or reality, which starts right now. All right, before we kick into fantasy reality, just a quick note. The Pirates-Cardinals game that we're just discussing, I'm telling you Zach Thompson's a good play in that game, postponed. So please, those of you who are setting lineups for the next hour or so, do not use any of those players. The game has been rained out. Davis was right. The weather is bad. It is over. Done. Finished. All right, so over the weekend, let's get to it. Thursday and Friday, Davis looked like, at the Masters, that Tiger Woods, at the very least, potentially, not only was going to make the cut, but then maybe we thought, hey, maybe he'll be in the final grouping. Maybe he could even fight for, winning the thing. I don't know. But then Saturday came, and it was pretty evident at that point, Davis, that he wasn't going to win. But still, huge kudos for Woods even competing in the Masters this weekend. He clearly did not look like himself, but definitely good enough to compete and stay on the tour if he wanted to. How about winning a major championship? That's what we're going to start here on Fantasy or Reality, Davis. I will ask you, and then I'll answer for myself. Fantasy or Reality, Tiger Woods will win another major championship. So naturally, this includes the Masters, the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, the British Open. Because I still think there's a pretty good chance, Davis, that he could win just a tournament. But how about a major? He will win one. Fantasy or Reality?
Yeah, I'm going to say fantasy, and it pains me to say it, not because I'm the biggest fan of Tiger Woods or anything like that, but it's clearly he is so good for the game of golf. People who don't particularly care that much about, Brooks Koepka or Dustin Johnson or Rory or whatever, they'll always tune in for Tiger, and they'll always tune in for Phil. Phil, of course, was not at the Masters either, but Tiger is 46 years old. And these are the people who have won major championships at 46 or older. Jack Nicklaus did it in 1986. Tom Morris did it at the 1867 British Open. So not exactly recent history there. Julius Boros won the 1968 PGA Championship. And Phil, of course, the 2021 PGA Championship. Don't think I'll ever forget that. That was really something to see Phil win that one. But times really have changed, and we saw, Scottie Scheffler's 25, 4 wins in his last 6 starts. Rory is not done yet. Dustin is still playing really well. And then we have a host of guys who have not won one yet who are great players. Patrick Cantlay, Xander Scheifele, there are lots of young guys out there. So I would say if he is going to win one, I think it would probably be a British Open Championship where the young guy or older guys, tend to do better there. Henrik Stenson won one at 40. Tom Watson, of course, 20. He'd been off the tour for 10 years, and he finishes second in 2009. So that would be the one he could do. It's probably a little bit easier on Tiger's back. Not a lot of hills. Those courses are pretty flat. But I do think probably Tiger as a regular PGA Tour player is done. I don't think we're ever going to see him out at the RBC Canadian Open ever again. I think that is pretty much done at this point. He will give it a go for these major championships as he continues to rehab, but I'm going to say fantasy. He looked so miserable on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, the ending was not as good as the beginning by a long stretch, especially I thought Saturday in particular was the one day that you could just tell he was not feeling it. Listen, I'm going to play the other side here, and I'm not going to be a prisoner of this weekend and say that reality, this happens, but I can't tell you when. And I think that in fairness, if we were to do this last year and have the same question for Fantasy Reality Davis about Phil Mickelson, we would have said fantasy too. So sports is filled with really good stories, feel-good stories. And if we said he would do it in the next year or two, I would definitely still say fantasy. But I don't know. Something tells me 2-3 years down the road when Woods is 100% healthy, if he's 100% healthy, maybe he has a run, as you mentioned, at the British. I don't know that it's coming again at the Masters. I'm not sure that it would. But maybe one of those others, PGA Championship, obviously opened up for Phil. Maybe it will open up for Tiger. So I will say reality, just play the positive end of this, hopefully in the next 5 years, because yes, that shelf life is, the window is closing on Woods' chances, but I will say reality. All right, after the weekend in Major League Baseball, you want parity? You got it. Every single team, Davis, won a game this weekend. At least one team, one win for every single team in Major League Baseball, except for the Baltimore Orioles. Orioles, again, Davis, you're probably going to go through a really tough season. They're expected to lose close to 100 games. But usually in the month of April, teams tend to surprise. They win a game here or there. They win an opening day game. We saw the Orioles beat, I think, the Yankees opening day a couple of years ago. They're 0-3. They got a tough go of it again this week, though, Davis. They got games against Milwaukee. They got games against the New York Yankees. Fantasy or reality, the Baltimore Orioles will win one game this week. Fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I'm gonna say they win one game this week. They get to play against Eric Lauer tomorrow. Never been a big fan, but the far funnier outcome would be them winning two out of three against the New York Yankees on the weekend. They play the Yankees Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Yankees fans are already doing we stink and. These guys can't hit, and it's all how it is with the Yankees. They're 2-1, and people are already, the sky is falling already in New York because they're not 3-0, and because Gallo hasn't hit a home run yet, and it's all Rizzo up into this point. So I'll say reality, they do win a game. They will win. The maximum hilarity is they win their game against Garrett Cole, which I think would be scheduled for Saturday, if my math is correct. So I'm saying they win their Garrett Cole game this weekend.
Yeah, I think that this is a reality as well, but I don't think this is going to be that easy. And look, they went up against a really good team this past weekend in Tampa Bay, given, but they do not really match up that well against Milwaukee. And so I don't know that they're going to beat Milwaukee at all. And then you're right, Davis. Wouldn't it be something if the complaining Yankees fans get the Orioles this weekend? And by the way, the Yankees have just absolutely mauled the Orioles over the past 5 years. I think no team has done a better job of beating them down than the Yankees have. But wouldn't that be something if the Orioles' first win came in New York, what that would be like next week on Monday? I'll say reality. I got them winning one game. But what a sad state of affairs, man. Like, the Orioles have been down now for so many years, probably going to be down again this year. And gosh, you don't want to see any team get off to like a 1-15 start, but 0-3 is obviously worst case scenario. And that's what the Orioles said it was after losing again yesterday. All right. We did get some uplifting news over the weekend too. And I guess this shouldn't come as a surprise, but Davis, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck have made their engagement official. They are going to be married this time around, or so we think they will be married this time around. Naturally, the celebrity world of marriages is always something that is talked about, and we talk about it here on the show. If I'm keeping track here, Ben Affleck was married to Jennifer Garner, never married, but I believe engaged to Jennifer Lopez once. And as we know, Jennifer Lopez has been married or engaged a lot of different times, Davis. I mean, I can't even keep count at this point. It's definitely three, maybe four, could be five. I don't know. Fantasy or reality, Davis? Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez get married, and they are married for more than 2 years. 2 years is our over-under. You can't bet this yet over on FanDuel. Maybe in the future you can. Fantasy or reality? More than 2 years for Affleck and J-Lo.
You know, I'm going to say reality. He was married to Jennifer Garner for a long time. They got married in 2005 and they were not divorced until 2018. So, I mean, that shows me that, I guess he wasn't in it for life, but he was in it for a long haul. I wonder, I have no idea what, caused the eventual divorce. I mean, who knows about these, about the lives.
It's the other side I'm concerned with here, Davis, honestly.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. And Jennifer Lopez, you're right. We have heard, I mean, how many, marriages and flings and everything have we heard about with her? She has been married to, she was married to someone I've never heard of, Ojani Noah, Chris Judd, right. And Mark Anthony. Right. She was married to Mark Anthony for a long time, for 10 mm-hmm. years. And apparently your shortest marriage was just about a year. I wonder if that was right about the time she got famous and he was like a normal person. That would be the funniest to me, is if she got her big break, married to this normal guy, and then now she's super famous and she's not Jenny from the block anymore. And she's like, look, you know, I got all these movie stars calling. So, you know, thanks for your time. I find this so strange though, because Ben Affleck was doing the Leonardo DiCaprio thing where he was dating, you know, all these very young models and actresses. Ana de Armas, who is a really good actress. She's been in a couple good, and I think they were in even a movie together fairly recently that just came out on Hulu. But it just kind of a weird story. Like, I don't know. But I guess so many people associate these two together and they were never married. So I guess interesting enough that they are getting married here in the end.
Yeah, J-Lo engaged to A-Rod, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe close, yes, on P. Diddy. Yeah, I got big fantasy here. Yeah, I do not have this going above 2 years. And again, it's like two subjects here that if we were to go back and revisionist history a year ago and I said over under 2 years married to A-Rod, I don't know, Davis. I think you would have said over, and they did not even make it to the altar. So you're right with Ben Affleck. And again, personal stuff to dive into why he and Jennifer Garner got divorced, I'm not interested in. But this is more of the story of, like, J-Lo has just sort of been through it. And outside of Mark Anthony, who you mentioned, I got this as a fantasy. I don't know. The celebrity world of marriages and engagements and love, it is so fleeting, Davis. It's unbelievable to me how they quickly just go from one to the other so fast. It's almost like normal, you know, and in the normal world, it's not really something that generally happens that often, but I got fantasy on this one as well, for sure. All right, we have to take a quick break here on Sports Grid. As a reminder, just for those of you who may be watching for the first time, or if you've watched our show all the time here, our show tomorrow will be on at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central. That's our new time for fantasy sports today. So make sure you set your notifications on your phone or your calendar that is our new time for the show, 1 hour every day from 11 to 12 Eastern. And then I will be back with you guys every day at 2 o'clock Eastern for our new show, Sports Grid Newswire, which is put a lot into this in terms of great information and kind of understanding the world of sports wagering and business. So make sure you tune in. I hope you will tune in tomorrow at 2 o'clock Eastern for our brand new show. We will have the Sports Grid 60 coming up next, and then we go over to Kevin and Donnie at 1 o'clock. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NBA's play-in games are tomorrow, and here on Fantasy Sports Today, we will preview them, especially that Cleveland-Brooklyn game tomorrow. Should be a fun NBA playoffs. Of course, we'll have it covered for you right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Before we get out of here, let's turn it over to Davis Maddock. He's got today's Sports Grid 60.
So I, like, you know, lots of people watched the Masters a lot on Thursday and Friday. It became a lot less interesting on Saturday as Scheffler, you know, just was assaulting the leaderboard. No one was even close to him. And, of course, was witness to Rory McIlroy's 65 on Sunday. And, of course, I had an outright wager on Rory. Did get even, though, betting him 16-1 to have the lowest round on Sunday. But that Sunday round made me a little bit of money there, but it's for sure going to cost me money for the rest of the year. Open Championship, the PGA, the U.S. Open, because just knowing that he still has that in his locker, it's so tempting for me to be like, guy hasn't won a major in forever. He hasn't, you know, his last one on the tour came in 2019, but just knowing he can still do that, man, Craig, I really wish he would do that more often.
Yeah, great performance from him on Sunday, for sure, no doubt. All right, so with the baseball season back, there's a lot of different options to watch games, and I wonder, obviously, if this is a wave of the future or even the present. You have the games on the Peacock app on Sunday morning. The thing that I was most curious about was watching the game on Apple TV live on Friday night. Now, it definitely was a little different. It was a little bizarre. There was a lot of talking. There really wasn't much play-by-play. But willing to give everything an opportunity just to see which direction Major League Baseball takes their game in the future. And for me, yeah, it's tough to find ways to stream all these games, but trying to do my best as the season is underway. Thanks to LTN once again for getting our show up and running as they always do every single day. Thanks to Danny and Ryan on the graphics. For Brett Levy and Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. Don't forget, have a great day, everybody. Break, break.